Damn, internet, you scary.
What's up, man?
What a do, pimp?
Cleo, I just told anonymously. I just told the Sega headquarters story, and it was I was crying, laughing all over again, man.
we are live for our Patreon, FYI.
I think we've told this story, but I omitted the companies and the people involved. But duh. I was like, I'm seeing Cleo later.
I need to know this story. So even if it's offline, I need to know.
I think we for sure told you, but I'll tell you after. Yeah,
chaos hilarious. For sure. What an experience it's like to be all the way in Japan and go through that is crazy.
Nah, man.
Crazy taxi.
Chaos was a good word to use.
Yeah.
Just hit this.
Yeah. Gotta go fast or nowhere. Stay here. The doors are locked.
Oh, Leo, your camera is extra crispy.
Whose is mine?
Yours.
Yeah. Trying to keep it cracking, man. Pat, hey, how was DreamCon overall for you, man?
I was just about to say, we had such a good time at DreamCon that we've talked about it for like three episodes. Yeah. And we just had Malcolm on like 10, 20 minutes ago. So it would actually be great to hear your point of view on the show also. But
yes, sir.
I was telling Tahir, seeing him there and his experience the first time had to be, the only thing I compare it to is how long you've been telling me to go and then I finally went. You know, because we've been telling to hear over and over and over again. But he's like me, like he waited until he had like a panel, some work to do out there. And now it's just DreamCon every year.
Got to hit it. You got to make it happen.
Go back. I can never go back.
You said
every
what?
It's like the release. I said I can never not go back to not going. Like it's like I'm Ash Ketchum. I got to go every year. There's a new Pokemon. I got to be there.
Hooked. It's a undescribable vibe, even if you've been to other cons. Because this was your first con, period, right? So you didn't even have anything to, right? So now it's like, it's low key gonna ruin other cons for you because you might have like an expectation.
There's no way I can go to other ones. I got invited to BlurCon. I was like, no, I'm good, my nigga. Once I found out why DreamCon got made, I was like, BlurCon?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Antics. Antics, bro. This was year number five for me going down there, dog. And crazy. You know, 1 year in Dallas, 2 years Austin, now 2 years in Houston, and just to see how much has grown in that time. Like it was already massive when I went my first year. That's the reason I went down there, just to be a part of it. The original reason was just so that Kalia and Hamil had to see people like themselves. You know, like hanging out with me or going to events is one thing, but like I wanted them to be around people who were like them, who were into anime and gaming and all these different kinds of topics and hobbies. And we went down there, and next thing I know, I'm roped into the behind the scenes. And next thing, it's like, all right, give Cleo the mic. It's like, all right, let's go.
You're one of the main players in the ecosystem. You're not, you're not just in the stratosphere. Like you are the reason that some shit happening, bro. Like. And Roxy too. Shout out to Roxy because
Roxy for sure.
I didn't realize Roxy was going to be so involved. She was hosting so many panels. I didn't get to hang with her. It was crazy.
Yeah man.
I saw it's the bubbling like of that it. Last year. Yeah,
it's nothing like it, bro. It's like, and there isn't anything like it. Like I had to describe it to somebody, and I was like, look, what Essence Fest meant to a generation before us, as far as being black, this is what DreamCon means to this generation. Period.
Yeah.
This is what, like, when you think of the this era of black creators, black creative storytellers, fans, people who are engaging with things out there in the spectrum of just hobby in general. Everyone wants to be at DreamCon. So and it's still in its infancy. This is only year eight. This is only fucking year eight. What does this look like in 10 years?
Man, I want to be there.
I can't believe 8 years. Like,
should have been, all devs should have had that, Pat.
They were forward thinking as hell 8 years ago. Because RDC has been famous for a very long time, also. You know,
true.
Like they got traction a long time ago, and they've only gotten bigger. Like they never really chilled. So, the fact that they thought to do this right when they got popping. So now this is aligning, you know, because it takes a minute for a con to get popping. So the fact is this big and they're that young, it's crazy.
I got to see footage. They said the first year was 350 people. So I want to see what did that visually look like.
What was that, Dallas?
I don't know. I got to ask them or get some. I want to see it. I really want to see it. So I got to find somebody to give me some behind the scenes or some breakdowns from that era just to see it, man.
That's crazy. That's great.
Hell
was
yeah.
This your busiest year? This had to be your busiest year.
I want to say yeah. I want to say it was my busiest year, bro. But I think last year might have been a bit more, only because they were still figuring things out. So the moment they didn't have someone to take over for something, they were like, they would hit my the person who was dedicated to me on site and be like, hey, is Cleo available to do this? Does he want to? And I just said yes to everything moving.
How many things did you do?
Be a part of it. Huh?
How many things did you do that weekend or host?
Last weekend. No.
That week you're talking about.
The last year, I probably did like four events every single day. This time it was different. Like, for instance, like Gatekeep, right? How Gatekeep even came about. I've worked with State Farm before. Like, I was the Golden Khakis champion for 2 years in a row on some Twitch stuff. So that's pretty cool. they had a video game tournament, and it was me and like my teammate playing NBA 2K against Jake from State Farm and a few other celebrities. So I'm a two-time Golden Khaki Award winner with the MVP trophy. Pretty sick. State Farm has a thing called Gamerhood, where you got Berlizzi and Mark Phillips, and now Plagboy Max is in there, and Senna. They're all a part of this thing. So last year we had wrapped the four controllers live, and the guy who was dedicated to me on site was like, "Yo, RDC's calling. They need you downstairs." Like, I was like, "I don't know what's going on," but they're like, "Yo, they need you to come downstairs for something." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I dip out, and then I get downstairs. Like, "Can you host this game show?" I'm like, what the hell is the game show? And like, it's called Gatekeep. This is what you're doing. This is what it is. I was like, is there a video? So they give me, I was like, yeah, they pull up a YouTube video. I watched like 4 minutes of it. I was like, then I understood the rules. I was like, all right, let's go. So we ran on stage and just ran the show. So that word ended up getting to State Farm around the way. And then going into Gatekeep this year, it was the opening ceremony instead of the ending ceremony. So there was like, let Cleo host it. I was like, all right, let's go.
That's fire.
So it's one of those things in our business, dog. It's like, I look at this spectrum that I've been on, man. It's like this whole run. And it's like being ready for anything and adapting as you go. Like, ain't nothing's all the way figured out. As long as you're ready and willing at any time to play ball, just sub me in. Let's go.
Hey, man. Yeah, I started calling you. I lost it. I'm going to say it again in 5 minutes when I think of
Swiss
it.
Swiss Army Cleo.
There's a Instagram page that has a picture of like a Swiss Army knife, and it's like Cleo, and then it has all of the tools outside of it, and it's like legit every single thing that I'm into. So it's like actor, gamer, streamer, host, producer, like it's all of it. I was like, that's pretty cool. I like that.
That is super cool, man. That people recognize it. A lot of times people are like, oh, this such and such in this commercial or something like that, but like they recognize like that Cleo is Mr. Brand Face. Like he he's a Swiss Army knife for brands. Like, who else can do a gaming thing for State Farm and Disney and be Kraft's face for the black community? Lord.
Did you not know that I was? Did you not know that I had been converted to here? Have you not heard?
No. I've heard about it.
He's not accepting you.
But you're not accepting it.
It's not even that. It's just new Cleo. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have uncles who smoke crack, and they said they was off crack. Okay. You can't go off of that first year. It's only been a year, Cleo. It's only been a year that you've been away from that crack.
Hey, this
so
is true.
I gotta wait. I gotta wait before I invite you, because I want to invite you. There's tons of places.
He doesn't want to be hurt again.
Yeah. When I found out that you, I felt betrayed that you would pick craft over other things. I was like, whoa. Okay. So it's still in the first year. I gotta give it some time to breathe. That's it.
I find it very interesting you'd bring it up today, only because there was a few partnerships announced with Disney this year. One of them was Heinz ketchup, and the second one, Kraft mac and cheese.
You shut your fucking mouth while you talk to me. You hear me? You shut your fucking mouth.
He's already planning the relap. He already signed the contract.
Who does a date for their relapse?
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Can we talk about
what I wanted to do? I've always wanted to like do some Kraft mac and cheese and actually put like the cheese and shit in there and then put that in the oven and see how it comes out when you blend the two worlds.
What, like mixing it with homemade mac and cheese?
Like make the Kraft mac and cheese and then add the other stuff for the baked mac and cheese. So I'll put a little egg in there, put a little heavy cream, layer it with the shredded the cheese, put some Velveeta in it, and then slide it in the oven.
Sounds like a waste back of time. Out
in 20 minutes. It might be. It might be. But what if it's the best thing you've ever tasted in your fucking life, Pat?
That's like getting raviolios and then getting all this like Italian pasta sauce and putting it on there with like meats and stuff. It's like, you might as well just get the main thing.
I remember Chef Boyardee.
Oh, nothing holds up.
Oh.
Nothing holds up. Mm. We've done way too many nostalgic food shows. Everything that Chef Boyardee has ever made does not hold up. It tastes like a science project.
So in St. Louis, we're famous for fried ravioli. It's deep fried.
Oh,
ravioli.
That's good. That's so good. So good. The big circle ones?
No, well, it's not the circle. It's still square, but it's deep fried. So what if you took a Chef Boyardee ravioli, breaded it, deep fried it, and then tried it? That's all I'm saying.
There's no way. There's no way.
Making everything better. A whole food show from taking things that are sold in store making it better.
Okay, there you go.
Come on, man.
Now I'm on board.
I like the synopsis.
What are we talking about? Board. Cleo, who we need to talk to, man, because you missed the brand face. Who going to give us a check?
Okay, the fact that that's becoming the nickname Mr. Brandface is crazy.
Brand
bro. This is Brandface. Yeah. This ugly, handsome face here. Come on,
they throw a different brand on your mustache every time. That's why you keep the mustache going. You have the beard, mustache gone because you're Mr. Brandface. The brand is the mustache.
I can't. The fact that like facial hair, like you even every talk is all related back to Tahir. Tahir's the only one that was like, yo, where's the mustache? From the very beginning, it's only been Tahir.
That's because Cleo has like cartoon facial hair. You know how like
he always has a 5 o'clock shadow.
No, it's like it's one or the other. You know how like people are like somewhere in between? It's either like a Homer Simpson 5 o'clock or just like completely bare or just like a perfect beard. It's like there's no interim.
I still can't figure animator. It out. I'd be at my barber like, yo, when I'm away from you, like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, all right, buy this and then, like, keep it at a one. I'll be at the crib. Man, never mind. Just go ahead. Because
it takes effort, Cleo. You
I ain't got the time to hear. I don't have the time.
You're right. I don't.
I'm sick living. I to do, like, Tony Stark shit with, like, weird angles and stuff. So and I just be trying to avoid them. You see, like, this disconnect, this don't. So I end up looking like a crackhead Tony Stark.
I never noticed that they don't connect.
Mm-hmm. They're close, though. It's like a peninsula.
This tries to, and this don't. And then there's other just like weird angles that if I wasn't a supervillain, it just don't work.
Man, I'm cool. Facial hair runs, I'm cool off of. I gotta bring this to the table, man. I gotta bring this to the table. I saw Tahir in both of his cosplays for his very first convention. Might I add, his very first, ladies and gentlemen, his first shots into the space of cons and cosplay, he brings out the Hamburglar from McDonald's, well executed, perfectly executed.
Thank you.
And I thought
so
it couldn't get any better, but no.
It didn't.
Never underestimate to hear more, because what does he bring to the damn table? Ruby Rod from The Fifth Element, my top five favorite film of all time. Come on, pulls up in the full sheet of print with the hairpiece. You could have just went with the suit, but you made sure to complete the set with the hair. How did this come to be?
Listen, man, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to overdo it, bro.
Agreed.
Especially something like Dreamtime, because I don't want to come into another community space and not respect it to the fullest extent. So I'm going to over fucking do it, bro. And it's crazy that you hit me up, because mind you, I was up to 5 Saturday morning. I was up to 5. I mean, Saturday night. And so Sunday morning, I didn't go to bed until about 5 o'clock in the morning. So Hippie told me, yo, Cleo wants you to do this McDonald's thing. He wants you to wear the Hamburglar thing. I am still out of commission. All right? But when I read that dyslexically. I read that from bottom to top. I don't know what I was reading. So the fact, and then they pushed it back 30 minutes. So I was like, okay, I could pull it together. I pulled it together 30 minutes and went over there. We did the thing for McDonald's. That was crazy. They got the footage of me going on. So I didn't even really want to go. I don't know why I raised my hand and go on stage because I didn't have a voice. My voice was right. gone
One on somehow. Sunday.
Yeah, it was starting yeah. leaving Friday night. So Saturday, while we were doing our panels, it's just depleting more. And then a party Saturday night. So Sunday, I had no voice. I don't even know why I raised my hand, but it all worked out. But the Ruby Rod is one. He's one of my favorite characters, and it's one of my favorite movies as well. So, I had to go crazy with it, bro.
Two things that were crazy about his outfits, though. Number one, what up, guys? This episode is sponsored by In the Cloud. Every summer, I tell myself I'm gonna take it easy this year, okay? But then somehow by July, I'm already triple booked. The group chat has three different plans happening all at once, and I'm just stressed out in a folding chair eating a whole bunch of hot dogs, okay? Now, there has to be another way to relax, right? Well, thankfully, IndaCloud exists. IndaCloud is a fully legal online cannabis dispensary for gummies, exotic flower, premium pre-rolls, zero sugar THC sodas, energy gummies, and extra strength sleep gummies. Everything is federally legal hemp THC. It's lab tested and shipped discreetly to your door. Because summer is already doing the absolute most. Now, for me personally, an IndaCloud zero sugar THC soda is great when I want to unwind without alcohol, without the hangover, everything that comes with that. I actually like the Midnight Raspberry Extra Strength Sleep Gummies too, because I'm a night owl and I need to wake up early. It helps me just relax and mellow out and enjoy the night without everything feeling so chaotic. Now, IndaCloud has energy gummies for overloaded summer schedules, THC sodas for calm social energy without alcohol, extra strength sleep gummies for nights your nervous system refuses to clock out, and flower for slowing the evenings down a little more intentionally. The group chat planned the weekend. IndaCloud helps you survive it. So if you're 21 or over, go to IndaCloud.co. That's .co, not .com. And use the code DIYS for 30% off your first subscription order. That's IndaCloud.co, code DIYS for 30% off, delivered routinely and discreetly to your door, plus free gifts and free shipping on qualifying orders. And don't forget to fill out the quick survey when you order to support this show. Enjoy responsibly, and huge thanks to IndaCloud for helping everybody enjoy summer without accidentally turning it into a second job. The commitment to the Ruby one. Like, you remember when we were doing Helldivers, and how hot that was. A lot of people, if you haven't been to these conventions, cosplay is so sweaty. And this was like summer in Houston, Texas. It was like drip, like regular outfits dripping everywhere. So yeah. The fact he had the bodysuit, the boots, and the wig, we did two panels. And you kept it on after that too, right? For pictures?
Yeah, I kept it on for pictures, yep.
When we did Helldivers?
About six and a half hours. We
did the photo shoot. I went back to the hotel. I was done. That was like the most cosplay I've ever done. And I couldn't handle it. So the fact he was in there all day is crazy. Because I talked to him. He was like, man, I am drenched under here. And I was like,
bro, I was drenched within the first hour. Before our first panel started, I was drenched. And I'm trying to get my voice back. So I'm drinking tea. So on top of being hot inside of this outfit, I'm drinking 130 degree tea to try to soothe my voice.
Trip. It's like how spam sits in that juice before you open the can. That's how this nigga was walking around. And then number two, the Hamburglar fit. Okay, so McDonald's has what is it called? Like the
chef's remix activation.
Right. So the Hamburglar, which hasn't been an official mascot for what, 30 years, 20 years? The whole set was still paying homage, like, to the black and white stripes,
yep,
which has no other correlation with McDonald's than the Hamburglar. So the fact that the set was built based off of the Hamburglar theme is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's here. Like, yeah. That's the Hamburglar.
Yeah. It was a good ass time. I sent the picture to my homegirl, and I'm sending this to Hippie right now. I didn't realize how many people really rock with the Hamburglar. Because I will say this, like McDonald's, their execution site, they had pins and stuff, and they had pins of some characters and stuff like that. they have none of the hamburger. I feel like next year we're gonna see a difference in that because of the presence that was made this year. But my homegirl, I showed her a picture. I FaceTimed her, and she sent me. She had a hamburger passport.
Oh, and, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was so from the McDonald's Land active. Yep.
Yeah, so she's gonna Hippie will probably post it. Oh wait, was this it? Is it?
Yep, so, there it is.
Okay, so she'll post it when she gets it in there. That and then also the lunchbox, the hamburger lunchbox
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has the tin. So she has this in her possession right now from when she was a kid.
Sick.
Craziness.
Sick. That's probably worth to see. Them tin lunchboxes were cool as hell. Like
hell yeah. Man. You know,
Go ahead, Tier.
I was just gonna say, I didn't even realize he had on the Prada shoes. Like, if you look at the bottom, those are the red and white Pradas, like that he got on. So,
if I ever had that shit on,
he had that shit on with the cape. Tell me a couple people that wore on the cape and weren't superheroes and pulled it off. One is James Brown, the second one is the Hamburglar.
I didn't even know he had a cape until you wore it.
Yeah, cape, baby, cape, and he had the fedora on with the ribbon across. Hey, man,
Why do people still know this cast of characters? Like McDonald's doesn't use them. Like, where are they keeping such relevance?
And our cerebellum.
I would say
long term memory.
Last year they did a partnership with Fortnite, and they launched this whole McDonald Land thing. And in Fortnite, you would see, you saw Birdie, you saw the Hamburglar. Who else was it? Who else had a really cool activation? Oh, Grimace was in there, and I think two more. So it's very interesting to me that those are Ronald McDonald, obviously. But it's wild because McDonald had those original characters since I want to say like the late 80s, early 90s, right? But no one remembers like the BK kids at all. We don't remember. See, like you don't remember them. You don't remember the BK kids?
I don't.
Can we do forgotten mascots? Can we please do some forgotten mascots real quick?
Yes, let's go.
BK kids.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a BK kids, and one of them looked like the tall guy from Recess.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. And the kid Vision, the guy with the white kid with the cool goggles.
Yeah, I had a toy of him.
I need to see this.
This
sounds vaguely memorable. No, what is
there?
Was the
dude
familiar?
There was a dude in a wheelchair.
Yup, they were very inclusive even at that time.
They had the black
wasn't considered
dude.
Woke.
I think this dude's Asian.
Yeah, they definitely look like that one cartoon. Wait, is that not the cartoon though?
That's not Recess, or it's not Magic School Bus. Those are the BK kids.
Wow.
Wait, was one of them? Okay, so wait, I'm thinking about I'm mixing up with cartoons now. Because I'm thinking about that one duck cartoon where he had the visor and his feet were a wheel.
Darkwing
what
Duck.
What was that? Was that Darkwing Duck that he was one of the characters?
Is he the Darkwing or DuckTales that you're thinking of with the
maybe it was DuckTales.
Duck with
the
wheels.
Visor?
Disney.
That wasn't Mighty Ducks? This is crazy. Oh, you got the PNG? That looks good. Yeah, perfect. They for sure ripped the black dude off. They're like, we don't know how to make a black dude. Just use the Recess nigga.
That character is Gizmo Duck to hear the one you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
Every black kid. Oh, there's the 10 fire.
That's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's McDonald's fan passport. Every black kid. If you look at the kid from so you got the kid that we just saw in BK, the BK kids, the black kid. Uh-huh. If you look at Recess, same character design, flat top kind of look. And then if you go look at the black guy from Captain Planet, same design.
Oh shit!
Same design.
They all got the same haircut too.
And then they were like, "What if we made the high tap longer?" And then you get Hey Arnold.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, Gerald. "What if we just made the nigga blue?" And now you got the dude from Doug. What's his name? Skeeter. That's how you know there was no white people. There was no black people in the room. They were just like, "Man, copy paste."
Running, man, it works.
This
they identify.
He was the older one. He was basically the older version.
Pretty much, he's big brother. He's a big brother.
So, did BK Kids have a cartoon? I know I had
no,
a toy.
They never had a cartoon, but every like McDonald's that I recall, McDonald's and Burger King did the same thing. They would have a commercial dedicated to like their like major promotion for their regular food, and then they have a commercial right afterward dedicated to their kids' meals. So BK Kids used to have one that would show off the new toys that were coming out for whatever Happy Meal or Kids Meal they had coming out at that time. That's it. It's the only time we saw them.
Well, yeah, because they weren't in a lot of commercials, mm-mm. which is why a lot of people don't remember that. But I do remember them, and they weren't even on the like the signage and the posters at the actual location. Like you just saw them sometimes. Maybe sometimes they'd be on the like the liner that would be on
the bag, the right?
The bags. I remember.
Yeah, the bags. But yeah, they didn't get a lot of run.
It was mostly the goggles guy. Gizmo Duck. I know him.
That's what I'm talking. Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah,
that's Gizmo Duck. That's crazy. Gizmo I feel like Duck. That was the golden age where everything needed a mascot, like even things that kind of didn't like wasn't warranted. But now it seems like no one does mascots anymore. Are mascots dead? What's the most recent popular mascot?
Jake from State Farm.
That's more of like a running joke.
Yeah, but the fact that it remixed it, though, the fact that years later they're like, all right, bring it back and make it like this is going to be our
and
guy.
They made
Geico,
it a black guy, too.
They made it a black guy.
So Geico still has it. Geico has expanded their mascot because Progressive. The first Flo. Progressive was just Flo. But now it's the white guy with the blonde hair, the black guy, he's been getting some shine, too. Geico was just Geico but it was Geico and the caveman. For a while.
I forgot about the caveman stuff.
The caveman is different. I feel like a human actor isn't really a mascot, you know?
Okay. It's but he had like, he had the brow because he was a real caveman.
That's what I'm saying. So the caveman and like the gecko, those feel like mascots because they're like other things. But I feel like if you're just like, hey, I'm Jake from State Farm or like I'm Terry Crews for Old Spice, that's just a nigga who booked a job.
I mean, but here's the thing about Flo. You got to think about how long Flo
these are all
been,
old.
Progressive. Flo has been with Progressive for a very long time. So long that her contract concludes that she can't change her image or her likeness without their approval. Woo! She can't ride motorcycles. She can't do anything that could potentially cause harm to her or damage her look. But that's the same limitations that they put on A-list actors when they signed on for a movie. So if you signed on for like a big budget movie with like Christopher Nolan or Steven Spielberg or something like that, typically in your contract, you can't ride a motorcycle. Obviously, none of the illegal stuff like drinking and driving or anything like that. You can't do, it's so much, you can't change your image, you can't get tattoos, you can't cut your hair. It's so much stuff that you have to abide by because you are now the face and representation for a multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar brand.
That seems lit for like Marvel or like Christopher Nolan, but it feels like that Progressive contract is like half of that contract term is like, this is the best thing ever. And then the second half is like, this is a jail. But you know, that's gotta feel
face,
like that.
If you're the face of a brand, bro, they have to get first right to refusal. So that means that anything that you book outside of that, you have to check with them first to make sure that there are no conflicts for any filming. So if Flo would by chance have got a guest star role on a show or they wanted to build a show around her or something like that, Progressive would have had to pay her to not take the role.
I got a story for you to hear. I got a story for you.
Okay, and so this I just found this one out. So, when Denzel took on what movie was that he got paid $20 million twice for?
Damn, was he two roles?
No. Mm-hmm. Let me see.
Is it a classic Denzel or one of his?
No, I don't know if it was Equalizer. Let's see. Denzel got paid twice. Let's see. For the Equalizer. Let me just pull it. Okay, American Gangster. So I got paid twice for American Gangster.
Why?
Thanks to the pay clause. Pay or play. So basically, the movie was with another studio at first, and he had a pay or play clause, which means that regardless if the movie gets to theaters, they still have to pay him his amount. So they paid him $20 million. The studio he was originally with was like, we don't know, what we want to do with this. Another studio picked it up. Other studio, for them to be able to release it, had to pay him another $20 million. So he got paid $40 million for American Gangster.
And he didn't even have to do anything after the other studio picked it up, right?
$40 million.
I love that. I love that movie. That's a top-tier Denzel movie to me.
Top-tier Denzel movie, top-tier Jay-Z album. I would put it in the top five Jay-Z albums.
That was a good album. That was a solid album. I feel like there's a lot of like movie when a movie soundtrack is given to a rapper, it's kind of discredited immediately. But like even Black Panther, like there's been some solid soundtracks that they trusted to like a rapper.
Yeah. Black Panther was solid. Babyface, I think Babyface did Waiting to Exhale. That soundtrack was crazy. Wow.
Yeah, I remember the Soul Food. Yeah, you said what you said. Waiting to Exhale.
I was thinking Soul Food too.
I was when I did Walking Tall. Right before I booked that film, ABC had put me underneath a holding deal for what Tahir is saying as far as likeness, looks, hair, everything.
For Walking Tall or something else?
For ABC coming fresh off of Holes, ABC, who's underneath the Disney umbrella, gave me a holding deal.
Gotcha.
Right? They wanted first bids at anything that was coming in off of visual. So we go up to Vancouver to shoot Walking Tall, and the director decides we need to cut your hair. And it's just me and him in the room. And I was like, and I laughed because I remembered like my agent and my mom explaining to me what just happened as far as with ABC. And I laughed. I was like, you're going to have to pay me a bunch of money for every inch you cut. And I made that joke, but he didn't register it.
What you mean?
So it's day one of filming. And the reason he wanted to cut my hair was because The Rock had done The Scorpion King before that. And there was a kid in that film who had like long curly hair as well. He's like, I don't want people to get it mixed up. So we want to cut your hair. I laughed it off. Day one of filming. They take me to hair and makeup. That lady gets to chopping my hair.
Oh, and I'm just tell me this.
And I didn't move. I froze up to here because I'm 14. I froze in the seat like I don't know what to do now. So she gets to cutting. My mom knocks on the trailer door. She sees it. She says, walks back down the steps. About 5 minutes later, bloop, 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 the phone start ringing. They had to go ahead and take care of that.
What happened?
They had to make sure to pay. They had to pay.
I was about to say.
They had to pay. They gotta pay.
They gotta pay.
When you are a representation of a brand or you are locked into one of the contracts and stuff like that, whoever you do business with has to honor that pre-existing contract. They cut your hair, they gotta pay.
But did that mess up anything with ABC?
Yep, because it did. And let me tell you why. If you go back and look at that era, there was no kid that looked like that fresh off of a successful project like what Holes was, two kids. They were like, all right, we're going to bank on this kid. We're going to find something. There's going to be a pilot, something. We're going to build the thing around him. Terrible. Slash, it got worse because the lady who cut my hair had never cut black hair before. She was a white lady. And go look at if you could bring it up, Hippie, please do. Go pull up Cleo Thomas Walking Tall and look at the mullet they gave movie. Me.
Oh, they didn't even buzz it?
Dog, go look. Pull it up. There's a mullet. I have a full-blown mullet.
Man, that's you should have sued her ass, too.
Should have sued her. Oh, she had just won an Oscar for something, by the way.
For hair?
Yup.
That's crazy. Damn.
So what Tahir is talking about, all real, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It's all true.
Mm-hmm. What's up, guys? This episode is brought to you by Cash App. Now, what I like about Cash App is that it keeps adding features that fit how people actually spend money. And if Cash App could add the perfect discount for me, it would probably be like groceries or food delivery because I have everything delivered to me. Because if I'm spending my money there, I would love to get something back from it. Cash App does more than you think when it comes to having your back and making sure your money stays your money. Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend called Cash App Green. Now, when you spend at least $500 a month with the Cash App card, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like up to $200 of free overdraft coverage. If you overdraft unexpectedly, there are no hidden fees. You also unlock higher borrow limits and custom personalized cashback offers every Friday at places you love to shop. Turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today or finish cash.app to learn more about this and other financial benefits. New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code CASHAPP10 in their profile at signup and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa Debit Flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Bank, N.A., pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc. See terms and conditions for the Sutton Prepaid Card, Sutton Debit Flex Card, or Bancorp Debit Flex Card. Cash App Green features savings, direct deposit, roundups, overdraft coverage, and discounts provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for the full disclosures.
Yeah, man. That's insane, bro.
That's the premiere. That's the premiere. You got to put Walking Tall, I think, behind it so you can see. You can pull up that one with the blue shirt to the right, right there. The one with the blue shirt to the right, right there. That one.
Oh, yeah. Look at
that. Oh, no. To here. I did not mean to give you more ammo. Relax.
Damn, they gave you the Joe Dirt.
I love that movie. So after I had met you, I had rewatched it, just not even realizing that was you. And I was like, wait a minute, this is fucking Cleo.
Dog.
What's crazy? I was surprised by that one, and I was surprised by the episode of House. We had that big ass cancer tumor on your face.
That's a great experience, dog. Such a great experience, man. The prosthetics behind that, so much fun.
How long were you in makeup for that one?
6 hours every morning.
Ah, how many times? How many days?
2 weeks, Monday through Friday.
That's, bro, I'll never forget when Jim Carrey, his horror stories about the Grinch, how he had to get there. He had to be in the seat at like 3 a.m. and it took like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. Every single day, and it felt like he was being buried alive. Like, that must ruin the movie experience, the movie making experience. All that, oh my god, and the nose.
Yeah, no, so the nose was the prosthetic. They wanted to get me a cleft lip situation. This was the tumor was like one piece. The most expensive part of this whole procedure was the hair. The freaking wig cost like $100,000, period. What? Yes, because it was like everything was fine tuned to match my real hair at that time.
What?
So that way, at the end of the scene, if I don't want to give a spoiler away, but if you see at the end of the episode, they didn't even end up showing my real hair anyway. But it was $100,000 to do that wig. That's one. Two, to even do the facial like molding process with what Jim Carrey described, like that was only my first day where they put you like in this case that's surrounded at your shoulders. And they just pour like this mold in it. So you're in here, you can't hear nothing. You can't, they put straws in your nose so you can breathe. And that's it. And then you just get fully fleshed out. I didn't feel claustrophobic. I felt at peace, to be quite honest with you guys. It didn't scare me at all. Huh?
That's dark. You're like, the sweet grip of death was tightening.
Yes, the very morbid part of me was like, oh, thank God, finally.
This is nice and relaxing.
I didn't get freaked out about it, bro. And I still have it. My mom and I think my mom and me, she has one of the heads and I have the other one. Like, I have a full-blown mold and prosthetic of my head because of this project.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's insane.
6 hours is nuts. What were you doing in the chair? Like, were you just on your
this
phone?
This was before. The only thing I had at that time was my Sidekick. That's that era. That's the only thing. There was no iPhone yet. There was no streaming. Like, it was CD player. But they have to get, you know, you're doing makeup, so I can't put it over, you know, I have to put headphones here or just in one ear as they switch over and my Sidekick. But it's, bro, it's 4 o'clock in the morning while I'm on set or while I'm getting there. So ain't nobody up any goddamn way. Yeah. So I'm just in there flipping the Sidekick back and forth.
Crazy. I don't even think there was a timeline back then.
No. I have a photo of me in my trailer, full prosthetics with my Sidekick. And my dad's looking at me like, like, what the fuck?
That was a weird age of the internet.
What did my son sign up for?
The only thing we could do on our Sidekick is talk to somebody else.
Is aim.
That's it.
Aim.
Yeah. I was like BlackBerry. The BBM, it was just with them. There was no algorithm or no timeline or anything. You only hit the people up. Wait, what is that?
This is the exact sidekick I had on the This is the exact LA. One.
That's the one I didn't have. I had the slide like a fucking loser. Who the hell? Why take out the flip? That's everything. I was
Because Motorola was like, oh, we'll make one. And T-Mobile said, sure, here, do it. We'll just give you the
terrible.
I'll never forget doing hurricane season and Wayne had the slide. And I was like, why the fuck does little Wayne have the sidekick slide? For what? The reason why? Because it had the remember there was a purple one and a red one. That's the only reason he had
just
it.
Just because it was red. Damn, I had the purple one. Double loser. Could have been like Lil Wayne. At least. I had the original though. I still have it. That big one. That shit
that
is
block.
It was the gray
bro,
one.
It's actually bigger than this.
It's big.
I wish we could bring it back, bro. I wish we could bring back a full QWERTY keyboard, flip up. So satisfying, bro.
Nothing.
I feel like we could. Now we can't go back because it's just like the stuff we have available now is crazy.
Right, but it has to be slim enough to where it makes sense.
That's
if it's
small.
Too slim, then it's too fragile. But that's not bad. But I mean, like if it was that size. A little longer, but indestructible. Then you wouldn't mind giving up the space for it.
Nokia got to make it
indestructible.
Nokia got to break out that blue plastic.
Damn, bro! Like this was everything, man. Like holding it now as an adult, like as a grown man.
Wait, really?
Never had a sidekick. All right, so I sold drugs for a small amount of time.
Those are the niggas that had them, though.
Yeah,
I had the Nextel
Chirp,
and I had a two way, and I had a three way. So the two way was a flip up joint. It was basically like a pager you could text on, and the three way was a flip up joint with the headphone jack that it was actually like phone too because it had the Motorola antenna, and you could get the service on it. But I never got the sidekick, and I from the three way. I went straight to the BlackBerry, and from BlackBerry, I went straight to the iPhone. I never had a sidekick, and you could only get the sidekick on T-Mobile.
Yep, on T-Mobile.
I was with Singular, so I never got a chance to get that bitch, and I was mad as fuck. My bill was only $75 a month. You know what I mean, so I was like, I to go up to the sidekick, I had to. It would have cost me more money. I would have to pay for the phone, and I would have to up the price on my monthly bill because I would have had to get the internet or whatever data service they had for that one at that time. I was like, man, fuck that shit, bro. I sell drugs. I ain't really talking about this shit.
I wanna go down a rabbit hole here for a second. We bring up the Motorola two way pager. Right.
Yes.
Okay. I remember that era. I remember. Yes. I didn't have one, I knew the rappers had one, and that's what made it cool.
Motorola two way pager.
First thing I thought of. Give it to me.
Okay. So, but we have to think the rappers have it. How many of the excuse my language? How many of the hoes and the groupies had two way pagers? Who were they texting? Because I'm not think about this. Hold on, follow me here. Let me land.
Oh, so like the hoes weren't up on it.
Huh?
The hoes weren't up on it?
They couldn't have been. Cause think about like who was like think of that bill at that time.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like that was meant for rap niggas to boo woo woo, right? And I go down a rabbit hole just now. Who do I see? I see Aaliyah holding a two-way pager. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Aaliyah makes sense to me.
I see what you're getting at.
And then I see another article here that's from the New York Times, a world divided into two-way pagers. On one side, we see Bill Gates and some other white guy. And on the other side, I see Russell Simmons and who is this? I can't tell who the lady is in this article. But we need to follow this rabbit hole of stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, Jay-Z was the king of mentioning stuff we ain't never heard of. And then we would just rap it like we knew what it was. And then years later, you'd be like, oh, that's what you'd silently be like. Oh, that's what Jay-Z was talking about. And that's what we were all pretending to know what he was talking about.
Jay-Z single-handedly shifted the culture at least four
several
times.
Several times.
At least four. He shifted it with Iceberg. He shifted it when he got people to stop wearing throwback jerseys and put on button-ups. He shifted it when people started rocking the plain Jane Rollies. And he was like, them ain't Rolex diamonds. What the fuck you done to that? When rappers and ball players would getting Rolexes and taking them to jewels and getting these ridiculous diamonds put in them, you lower the value of it because, one, they're not Rolex diamonds. Two, that's a personal item, which means that unless somebody's just like you and they love that piece, they're not going to be able to resell it. They're going to have to melt it down for the gold and the diamonds, and then you get your money back from that, or a portion of your money back from that. And he shifted it with auto-tunes. He low-key almost single-handedly ruined T-Pain's career in the same time he did it.
But it also didn't go nowhere. So I feel like that was the first time we saw him fail at a trend. He was like death of auto-tune, and it actually didn't work. Ever since then, like, he was the dude that was just like, hey, we're not doing this no more. We're doing this. And everybody was like, okay.
Well, it worked for T-Pain. It just didn't work for Young Thug. And then other rappers that came after Thug, because Thug made it so popular again.
He did.
Other rappers started doing it. But it worked because T-Pain was out of work. T-Pain was a feature king. Everybody went to, if you had T-Pain on your feature, or your course rather, you had a hit record. And then DOA came out, and everybody tried to distance themselves from T-Pain, and he never got paid from Birdman or Khaled.
That's crazy. That's so crazy.
That's,
I feel like,
so crazy.
Yeah, T-Pain is like an example of like how being nice, what the industry would do to you. Because it seemed like he was just chill, like, I thought we were friends. Like, I did one for you, and then when it was time to do one for you, you invoiced me. So it was just like, damn, like, this is so fake.
I've been feeling like that more recently than not, bro, because it's so many cool people that have contacted me. People reach out to the people I'm cool with and be like, yo, you think you can ask to hear? And because it's coming from somebody I'm cool with, I'm like, yeah, because this is my people. I'll do this. I'm thinking it's a favor for them. And I keep thinking about this whole T-Pain thing. And so, like, I really been saying, like, no a lot more, because I'm just like, nah, y'all not gonna T-Pain me, bro. Because I love T-Pain. I respect T-Pain. I do.
Yeah.
I still listen to the music. Like, hell, yeah. Like, he's just super dope. And to hear how the game took advantage of just, like, a nice person, it, like, it's really disheartening. So I'm like, yeah, let me switch it up before I become, you know, the next story. So that sucks, though.
It's a very thin line, brother. It's a very thin line to play. And thank you for sharing that too, here for sure.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very telling even for myself. I'm like, I think I have played this business that we are in way too humble for so long that I now see the I don't want to call it disdain, but like a disservice to the fact, oh, just because he is nice, we can get away with it.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, no. Like, I have to now start turning the other side and be like, oh, no. Like, I'm gonna start biting. I'm gonna start barking, because I've played it too nice for y'all for way too long.
A good way to decipher through that: if somebody asks you to do something that you get paid to do normally, you charge them. If somebody asks you to do something that you know normally, like, hey, you mind DJing this? All right, I don't get paid to DJ. I mean, long as it ain't longer than an hour, I don't care. This helps me get better. But if you want me to host something, you want me to make a video, you want me to promote this, yeah. You got to pay me. That's what I normally get paid to do. That is what you know me. That's why you feel comfortable coming to me, because you know me for this. Mm-hmm. So anything that I normally get paid to do, for it or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's like y'all and it's something we build it. But anybody else? Yeah, absolutely. Because you can't go to Jay-Z like, yo, you know, be my cousin. You can't. What? It's crazy. My manager just hit me up and was like, yo, these people wanted you to do a birthday party. I said, excuse me? She said, yeah, a birthday party is for one of the family members that turned 70. Obviously, they're fans of you. So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. She's like, what would you charge for something like that? And I get the number I gave her. She was like, shit. I was like, well, if they're fans of me, they know I do this. And I'm gonna need a hotel, and I'm gonna need a flight. I shouldn't have to look for that type of stuff or worry about that type of stuff. If you want me to come and do what you know me to do, then you don't want nothing weighing on my mental because I had to spend X amount to get here, or I have to spend X amount of dollars to stay overnight here. So if you want me to perform at my highest level and give you a product that you're proud of and I'm proud of, this is the price.
Bars.
The fact that it's a personal birthday party, I ain't got nothing to do with that. Y'all reached out to my man. Y'all saw my contact, my management contact, and my IG. You reached out to him. This is what it is.
It's almost like y'all previous relationship is a disadvantage to you, because if somebody they didn't know gives them that price, they accept it. You know, they go to a designer store and something is crazy expensive, they accept it. But for some reason, it's like, oh, I know them, so they should just hook it up or do it for nothing. And then it's almost, yeah. And then it's like you're offended by what's just reality, as opposed to like, it's almost like they're making it seem like I'm gonna overcharge you because I don't fuck with you like that. And it's like, no, that's just what everybody else is saying.
There is no homie price. If it's my homie, we already got to understand that. But if you had to contact, if you went to my management, then you're gonna get that number. It's similar to that.
So, I forget that saying, Cleo, you said is like be humble in person and a shark in business or something.
Yep. We learned it like if it wasn't for Marlon Wayans being able to share that little bit of detail as far as like from his perspective. He's had to watch all his brothers go through the biggest moments in this business, including himself. And for him to just now in this era share that little piece of experience with the world. Be humble in person, but be a shark in your business because they do not care. And I'm like, for him to say that now, after all his success and his family success, what have the stories been like at family, you know, dinners to talk to have that kind of experience? So yeah, it's a different world for me now, brother. Like if you hear a story about me, just know it comes from a place of being like, I played it nice the long way, a long time, and I'm done playing nice with you niggas. I'm done.
And that's nothing wrong with that, bro. Like because
I agree.
You meet somebody like Kev, and we all met Kev before the Kev he is now. You know what I mean? Obviously. And, you know, Kev hopping videos and all this type of stuff that he was building, but he always had, like, the vision in mind. But, like, now, and I told Kev this early on when we first started touring. I was like, bro, you too accessible. You need to have some insulation around you. There's too many people that can just call you and hit you up. These churches, they gonna play on your heartstrings. Like, yo, could you do this for the Lord? Our budget is small, but our faith is mighty. Hey, call me when your wallet matches the faith.
The budget is low, but the faith is mighty is a crazy pitch.
I had been telling him this. I'm like, bro, I told Kevin when we first toured, I was like, bro, you a star. You gotta get some insulation around him. You can ask Kev. Like, I was a bulldog because I knew I wasn't, my name wasn't as big, so I didn't care about being an asshole on his behalf. Now, as me as a person, I'm not gonna be that same person. I'm like Kev when it's me in that seat. But for Kev, because he ain't cussing in purpose, I'll cuss motherfucker out. I don't give a fuck about coming back to this church. I came with him. They ain't booked me. I don't give a fuck. I cuss everybody out in this motherfucking church. What the fuck are we talking about? What are we doing?
Hey, you got to take your own advice, man. You too accessible.
I know.
You hella accessible, man.
I know. Bro, I've had the same number since 2000.
Okay, well, that's, yeah, me too. I'm guilty of that. But just in general, you.
I know.
You like me and Cleo are out here like rare Pokemon.
When you see me, now's your chance. Now's your chance.
Here's the thing. It's so crazy because the session that I had with my therapist today was about some of that, about empowering myself to say no more and putting myself first, prioritizing myself. And a lot of the stuff that we talked about today is something that I talked about with my therapist. I was like, I can't keep doing it, bro, because I keep trying to pour from a cup that ain't never been full because I'm empathetic, because I'm a Pisces, because I love people, because I love making people laugh. But it's like, who's looking out for me? Because I'm always looking out for everybody else and make sure everybody else feel good. Who's looking out for me? So I was like, yeah, I got to do that. So I sent out a couple of emails, a couple of text messages today, and it's like, all right, I don't want to be in the same place or be the same person in 6 months. So, yeah, you're right. You're right, Pat.
It's a constant growth, man. It's a constant growth. Like, it's been for me, even, you know, I guess we're going to kind of circle back to DreamCon here. Like, I didn't put this out there. I didn't say that. Maybe I touched on it maybe once or twice, but this whole villain arc thing that is surrounding me at this moment, like, I got asked about it three or four times at
DreamCon. Where did that come from?
I don't even remember. I think it started from somebody saying, "Hey, Cleo, you need to. Can you please sign up or submit a audition for Streamer University?" And I quote tweeted him like, "Kai and his team know where to find me." And then Twitter got to doing this like, "Oh, he think he's bigger than the program. Everyone has to submit a self tape to be a part of Streamer University, blah, 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 blah. And I chose after all these years, like I don't pop out. Like I know what social media is. It is what it is. Like I'm not worried about you niggas. This is the only power you niggas really have in real life. I'm not about to go back and forth with you niggas. But I felt away. I was like, wait. The niggas on the internet who've never acted, produced, hosted, streamed, you're going to tell me how this is being ran when I have obviously been a part of Mafiathon 3, when I've obviously got Kai's contact to know what this is. You niggas think what you're being told is the truth, as if this isn't all auditioning, making the brand look bigger than what it is. Now, mind you, I'm talking to Sahir, I'm talking to Pat, so you guys know what this is, but at the same time, I'm giving a little bit behind the curtain when I say that. This is nothing more than the marketing ploy. But I'm supposed to believe, I'm supposed to bow out to you niggas who have never done anything close to what I have. And I was like, this may be the beginning to when I start crashing out. Because I'll be damned. If I ain't got 20-some years underneath my belt to deal with you niggas. So that was step one.
Fuck it.
There may have been a few other things, but I got asked about it 3 or 4 times. I'm like, they're like, Cleo, you just act like, I don't know what this villain arc is. I'm like, what is this?
Because they never see you talk about anything unless it's something that you've posted. And typically, if it's something that you posted, it's about the brand or the gifting or the streaming or the new project or something like that. So they haven't seen the personal side of you. So asking you a personal question or asking a question that you can get personal about is new for them.
That's a point.
But people don't realize there's no such thing as reality TV. All of this shit is scripted. When I did MTV's Your Mama, I was representing Bankhead, Atlanta. I lived in St. Louis.
That's so crazy.
Back and forth. And I drove down there for the audition. I drove down there for the first part of the episode. That's I drove so down crazy. There 6 times for the episode.
From St. Louis?
Made up. Yes.
Shit.
8 hours each direction. 8 hours each direction. And I was in college. I'm doing this in between classes. I had to get my classwork from my professors to drive down there to make sure I had that done. I'm doing it on the road or when I get there so I can send it in. Nothing is real. On reality TV, everything is scripted. Right. Everything is produced because you can't leave it to chance to make sure the show is good. So you still have to have that one sheet in that script. That's what a lot of people don't understand about reality TV. It's the same thing even with, and this is a personal rant, but I got to say this shit. Zeus Network, hot clip. Zeus Network is ran by white people. I don't care who they got as that front person. You can't tell me that they gonna let this black man have all of these shows, make all of these money, and they don't stop him. They're not stopping him because it's toward the degradation of the black race.
I do think black people would do that though.
Here's the thing. You only get camera time if you're creating or causing chaos or in keeping conflict. It going. Yep. Right? Yeah. You don't get no camera time if you're not starting a fight or starting an argument or up in somebody's face, right? We know that ain't all black people. We know that's a small percentage of black people, the same way that rednecks and MAGAs is a percentage of white people. Sure. It ain't all white people, right? But when you have to promote a show, promote a brand, promote anything that you want people to get eyes on, you have to do what catches their attention. Fight or talent. As simple as that. Fight, talent, or love. That is every show that's on TV right now. Fight, talent, or love. Any acting gig, that's the talent. Reality is going to be fighting or love. Love Island. Baddies. Bad Boys Club. Love Below Deck. Or Below Deck. Everything is one of those three. So I guarantee you, bro, it's no way they're going to let this black man make all of that money and they ain't getting a piece of it or they don't benefit from it. They either getting a piece of it or they benefit from it. And they probably doing both because the networks that he's on, he don't own those networks. So they're getting a piece of that money. And then they also benefit from it because it's putting black people in a bad light. Now, the people that are watching this, they think when they go to the club, they got to start a fight. Because if they can start a fight, they might get on the next season of Baddies. Or they might go viral for being a bitch ass in the club or being a dude ass in the club. Bro, you're not going to sit up here and tell me that's all we got to offer. All these black people in the house together and all we got to offer is fighting and chaos? Somebody can sing in that bitch. Somebody's a great poet. Somebody's an amazing writer. Somebody's an outstanding therapist. We don't want to hear that. Nope. They don't want to hear that. Nope. They want to see us fight and make a fool of ourselves. And the people watching it grow up thinking this is the way we're supposed to behave. I remember watching Flavor of Love, and I'm like, why do these niggas like this nigga? It ain't no disrespect intended for Flavor Flav, but come on, that nigga got mirrors. He seen what he looked like.
They didn't like him. It was the drug. It was the clout drug.
It's the clout drug, bro. So the love part got to get them more camera time. So they acting like they love Flavor Flav. Nigga, come on.
I mean, I feel like realizing it's not real is actually better for us to navigate it. Because it's like a weird time for people who are known, celebrities, popular, however you say it, is like, first of all, like you said, like what's getting attention is bullshit. But then it's like we're in this weird thing where the trend is like rage baiting. So you can't even really like, it's almost just best to just do your content and back up. Do your content and back up. I see why people like the Kendricks and stuff, they drop, they disappear. They drop, they disappear. You guys can argue about what I just dropped all you want. I'm not there no more. And it's like now that even what like Cleo was saying with that tweet, rage baiting is so popular now that it's not even about the trolls here and there. It's people like actually actively trying to get a reaction and all that stuff. So it's like, it's not even worth saying anything, responded. It's just like, I want to just let this era pass while I'm playing the game before it becomes, you know, because it's just like, once you realize like this isn't real, you can remove yourself from a lot of shit.
You can, but the rage baiting is so, like all it has to do is like imagine how many people can hit in one time zone. Right, if a story drops in EST, all of those people gonna get it first, and they gonna run with it and create their own narratives and their own avenues for all of that type of shit. By the time it hits Central Standard Time, you got extremely more people doing the exact same thing, and by the time it makes its way to the West Coast, then you got so many people that are just creating all of these narratives that you feel like you have to respond to all of these things, and there's no way possible you can do it, because as soon as you disprove one, then those people go to one of the other 16 that have been established, and then they just follow suit. They just hop on a bandwagon there. And so what you did in the past, Cleo, of like not saying anything or just kind of being neutral and shit like that, that's always the best thing. But sometimes the shit get under your skin. We human. It's only so much you can attack a person's credibility and their integrity and who they are as a person before you say, hold on, bitch. And you say that, but oh, we knew it. We knew he wasn't this squeaky clean person. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I'm not.
This motherfucker had the nerve to tell me, hey, man, be humble. I said, bro, okay, hold on. It's here. Let me preface it by this.
Damn.
Let me preface it by this. It was at that very moment, even before I saw that message, when I saw just the engagement that this little thread I put together was getting. And I'm like, this just proved my point of all these years of like, yes, I've continued to only do the things that I genuinely enjoy doing is creating, talking about the things I genuinely have a passion for, and these are the things that work. Great. It was only once I did that thread that like profiles and engagement that have never engaged with any of my content come out the woodwork. And this is things I already knew. I've given this advice to other men in the past. I've with platforms. I'm like, this, hey, just know that's just at that moment. These people are gonna come, they're gonna go. It doesn't mean anything. Move on to your next day. But when the nigga said be humble, I had to respond. I was like, let me guess. This is the first time you've ever engaged with anything that I've ever done. And got the nerve to tell me to be humble. That's it.
Negative.
No, nigga. That's crazy. Fuck you. Fuck the horse you rode in. Fuck you. I'm done.
He rode in. That nigga took it back. Y'all niggas trying to break clear out here, man.
Leave me alone, bro. I'm done, nigga. I've been doing this 20-some years. I'm done playing with you little ignorant niggas, dog. I done it all. I done seen it all. I done really did it at the top scale. I'm done. I'm done playing with you little niggas.
That is shitty when it's like you're like content, and then something that could be perceived as negative, and it's like all these people, and you're like, God, it reminds me of
where the fuck
like,
were y'all?
Yeah, it reminds me of like when like back with like when the Shade Room was super popping, and they would like post people that passed for like the first time ever, and it's like if you knew who they were, why weren't you keeping up? Why is the news opportunity just come from tragedy or negativity, and people are just sitting back, knowing who these people are, not caring, not like engaging and everything, and then something negative, like oh, I got them. And that's why I'm saying, like this whole rage bait thing, I'm just gonna sit out until this passes. Hopefully, it does pass.
Mm-hmm.
If I snap, hopefully. Just know. If I snap, hopefully. No, why, bro. No, I gave clear indication. I have a tweet that's I have a tweet in a Threads post, an Instagram post that are already like scheduled to go out. I was like, all right, look, guys, being very honest, moving forward, if you ever hear any negative press about me, it's only because a security tried me in the wrong way. That's my one trigger in the world. Mm-hmm. That's my security? One trigger. Security. I have a very bad history with dealing with security. I don't like them. Huh. I don't like how they talk to me. I don't like how they treat me as if I'm doing something wrong. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like it. I have a very long history of it. It starts from when I was a kid at the Shrek 2 premiere. My mom was getting out the car with me and she was pregnant with my little sister. And the security guard like put his hand on my mom to move her away from what direction I was walking. And I just lost it. And I was like 16. So like that's the only thing that's kind of based in my head. Now here we are years later, and I've had several instances. Something happened at the Bad Boys most recent film. Something happened mm-hmm. at that premiere. To the point, like that's the thing for me. Like that is a immediate trigger because it's like
was this the one that the preview at what was that in Hollywood where Kev and Tony were hosting it? Was that that one?
Oh, no, wasn't that one. Yeah, I remember because I had done a project with Vader for that Bad Boys film, and then mm-hmm. I went to that premiere that Kev hosted the early screening the day before. Then the premiere was the next day. The screening was at the Grove. The premiere was at the Chinese
theater. At the Grove, right? At the Grove.
Yeah. So I go to the Chinese theater and I got a band on, and I'm sitting there talking with the cast of Bel Air, and the security guard walks right up to me. It was like, you need to go stand over there. Like interrupts the conversation between me and the Bel Air cast. And I have my publicist standing across from me. She knows her. She already knows how I am. Because she knows. So I looked at her. I looked at him. I was like, I'm going to just go home. Because I already seen the film. So I just walked. Yeah. I literally walked right between her and the security guard. And then I stopped. I said, you know what? No. What's your name? So we have a little back and forth moment. I don't raise my voice. He's raising his voice. No, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. You need to leave. Da-da-da. I was like, okay, bet. I left. I called the reps of the premiere. No one answered for about 3 hours. I understood why. It's the premiere. Mm-hmm. They have one goal, is to make sure Martin and Will get from the moment they walked in to the moment they can say something on the microphone for the premiere, and then they can call it a day. That's their only goal for that day. So no one got back to me by 10 o'clock. I uploaded a video by 10:30. By 10:35, my phone rang.
Damn.
So they want to, hey, what happened? Da 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 da. Woo woo. Because, like, what luckily, was the video? Huh?
What was the video?
Somebody recorded this moment happening.
Oh,
so I screenshot it and I said, I need to know who this guy is. I was disrespected tonight at the Bad Boys premiere, and I want to know this guy's name because I've been doing this for 30 some years. I ain't got no bad press. I've never been disrespectful, but I am tired of going to these events, being asked to come here and being disrespected like guys like this who only have power for 2 hours. This is the only time you got, my nigga. You don't do nothing outside of this. They make you put a suit on for 2 hours to make sure nothing happens. But once your ass leaves here, you're right back in your Honda, driving back to your city with no other job to do, my nigga. Damn. You don't run shit here. You are not a king. So that's the kind of time I was on that night. 5 minutes later, my phone rang. Well, what's up?
Yeah, it'd be like that.
I'm tired.
And then it feels bad.
Pat, I'm tired. If I snap, you just know security pushed me.
Yeah. Or the word humble.
Or that.
Damn, that fucking sucks, man. I hope he got fired.
Oh no, yeah. He lost his
job. They be doing too much, man.
He lost his job.
They do.
Oh, for real?
They do.
He did. They let me know, like, hey, because this company that's been handling these premieres have known me since I was a child. You feel me? I understand people. What he's saying. Like, whatever. They gave me the wrong wristband. But you're overstepping your boundary, acting like I don't know every single rep in here that makes sure to take care of all this. So when word got back to you,
everybody nigga, talking doing to you should have 14. Been a, everybody talking to you should have been a green flag. If it's not like, can I have a picture? If you guys are just chatting, it's like, yeah, no, maybe he knows
cool.
him.
He cool. Yeah. He cool. He good.
Maybe he knows
I don't
him.
Give a fuck about none of that. He got to move over there.
Kiss my ass. Kiss my ass. To here, I'm 13. I'm a grown ass man, dog. I'm on that kind of time now. I'm done playing nice. I done did this for too long. I'm letting you know. Pat and Sahir, you are hearing it first. I'm letting you know. If I snap, it's only because it's been way too long of playing a humble or a security overstepped his boundary and got a little too big for his britches. I'm on that kind of time.
It happens, man. It happens, man. I mean, security already feels empowered because they're literally hired to maintain control.
That's what
and they're given like a fictitional presence and position, but like you said, it only is for 4 hours. After that 4 hours, bro, you can't get in contact with any of these people.
No, you got contacted
to do this job. You didn't contact anybody. So after that 4 hours, bro, like none of your emails or text messages is going through. So like you upholding this mightier than that, like I completely understand you got a job to do, but just like there's a way to say everything, there's a way to do everything. So if you coming at it like I'm big and bad, like okay. All right, bro.
That nigga said, I'm high up on the totem pole. I know what I'm talking about. I'll never forget that moment. And I was like, when I heard that, I said, now I gotta destroy everything.
Now I gotta knock it down a little bit.
Now I'm gonna make it short. You high on the totem pole, be saying shit like that. Let's test this theory.
That's not a truthful thing to say. Niggas who say that are usually just like, oh, okay, here you are on the totem pole and unemployment.
That's crazy, man. Okay, we'll see. And the craziest part is like when people hear these stories, they know us because they've been following us, obviously, right? And so they know like that's not our demeanor to even like cause a scene like that. Like we're probably three of the most non-confrontational people when it comes to ourselves. Like I told you, I would pop shit for Kev, but like for me, I try to like keep it low key because I don't want that type of press. And also, like, I don't really find myself in situations or be in environments that I have to pop off like that. But at the same time, respect is very big to me. And that's one thing I will pop off about, disrespect. You're not going to disrespect me or my people in front of me without me saying something. We ain't got to get in the fight, but I'm going to be hurt.
Come on.
Simple as that, man. Is it as simple as that? It could be also. It can all be so simple. Cause I ain't nobody want to go to jail. Ain't nobody want to get put in handcuffs or no shit like that. But you gonna hear me out if you disrespect me. You gonna get my rebuttal. At the very least, you gonna get my rebuttal. You ain't gonna disrespect me and not like just get to walk away. No, bitch. No. Everybody get to work.
And it's so avoidable too. You could go up, ask some questions. Hey, cause like. The weird thing about being on set, being in premieres, is like you do not know who these people are. Like if you don't recognize them, you can't just be like, it ain't Michael B. Jordan. So whoever this white woman is, like that could be the CEO of Universal. You know what I mean? Like that's the craziest thing to me. I'll never forget. Like I remember I was shooting a live show and one of the main cameras was blocked by a fitted hat. It was just some tall ass nigga. And I was like in the control room like, hey, what the hell's happening? Make this nigga leave. Like, tell this nigga to move. Couple seconds passed, nothing happened. I was like, what the hell? And I was like, hey, did y'all hear me? Like, why isn't anybody happening? Turns out the nigga who was standing there was one of the biggest gangsters in LA.
No one's touching him.
And nobody was saying anything, but I was at least like aware enough to be like, oh shit, nobody's like, they had to like talk to somebody else to do it. And I was just like, okay, like, cool your jets. I get it. I had to figure it out. I'd be like, I read the room and I was like, okay, well,
copy that.
He'll move at some point. He'll move at his house.
But you know what's so crazy? It's like you do shit like this and you learn shit like that. Like, oh, if I'm shooting on this side of town, I need to have somebody that, you know, has the demeanor to deal with this type of environment. Especially like when they were telling me, I read when they were filming Training Day, they had to have somebody that had stripes in the hood to go over and talk to the people and we're like, yo, we need this. And Snoop, when he had his role in Training Day, he brought his homeboys on set and make sure they got in the movie. So like that respect goes a long way, but it starts with that respect. You know what I mean? So the shit that you learn, man.
I was at the last story about it. I was at the number one on the call sheet documentary premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And first episode was dedicated to the black men in the industry. The second episode was dedicated to black women in the industry. And I see Journey Smollett. We did Roll Bounce together. I see Megan Good. We did Roll Bounce together. And then I see Jonathan Majors with Megan. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan dipped to the left very quick, but right before the opening of the red carpet, he dipped to the left to take a few photos. And Megan was getting ready to walk. So she went to the carpet. He dipped to the left to go take a quick photo. She took her photo solo. As he's walking back, I'm right behind him. I see security going right in his direction to stop him. They grabbed his arm and was like, excuse me, sir. You need to. I didn't even let him get to.
Oh,
you need to. God. I didn't even. I like I. Because, again, I'm having this conversation with you, Tier, so you understand. So yes. I see it coming. I'll walk right to the camera. I'm like, yo, trust me. He's supposed to be here. I had no business interjecting myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It took him a minute to look at me, then look back. Oh.
Yeah.
These, as Pat said, they don't know. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, bro.
Come on.
It's a double-edged sword though, as well, because like if something goes wrong, yes, it's on them. I understand that. I'm willing to embrace that thought. I am.
Mm-hmm.
But you niggas have overplayed your hand for way too long.
Bro, it's crazy to me that they still don't have like a quick view sheet with like a cheat sheet.
They
with
do.
Like the names
on. That, so here so, they do. Strange. The press line has it.
Yeah.
But it seems like if your job is to grab niggas up, you might want to do some research on who you can and can't do that to or who's supposed to be there. Like, your job is to hem people up and protect people, and then you look at the hemming, and it's like, oh, this is the star of the film.
Bruh. It's a mental thing for me because, like, growing up, I always, like, looked up to the guys who I consider, like, the made men in our industry. So, like, the guys whose names, like, as they walk in, just move. They're supposed to be here. You're not touching. You're not talking to them. Get the fuck out the way. Right? Yeah. The De Niro's, the Stallone's, the Schwarzeneggers, the Denzel's, the Smith's, like that era of men is who I looked at. So like, okay, all I got to do is make it to that level, and that will never happen to me again. What happened to my mom at 16 will never happen again. And I see that I have to now remove that thought completely. Like, oh no, it does not matter. It does not matter. Like it's you're going to run into this shit regardless.
It was a public relationship too.
It's part of it.
That was a public relationship.
Well, listen, man, before we get out of here, man, it's been an amazing conversation, Cleo. You got anything coming up that you want to let the people know to check out, to look out for, to keep an eye out for? Let them know what you got going on, man.
Man, we just wrapped up DreamCon. We just wrapped up Fanatics Fest. Crazy experience, man, seeing NFL Super Bowl champion Leonard Fournette have a Hector Zeroni and Stanley Yonatz tattoo on his leg.
That's
like on his leg / thigh / it was just a whole lot of muscle in that area. That's a real running back, you know, for the NFL. Like, that's a crazy experience, man. And this took place at Fanatics Fest, and we were at the Call of Duty booth. And man, he said holes meant that much to him as a kid that when it was time to get inked, he went and put that epic photo right there.
That's so crazy.
That's I would have never expected that, man. So Fanatics Fest was absolutely incredible, man. I was down there for Logitech G and Call of Duty. Got a chance to play the new game mode for Modern Warfare 4. Can't wait for that game to drop in October. Next up, we got San Diego Comic-Con. I'll be down there with Nintendo and Leica and working on something really cool with a guy who once played a pirate. I'll just put it out there like that. After that, we are headed to D23. D23 is right around the corner, Disney's big convention. I can't officially say at this moment what I'm doing there, but what I can say about it is simple and clean is the way that you're making me feel tonight. Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check him out. All the things he's named. Also, you can catch him on Instagram, all the social media sites, his YouTube, everything. And as far as me, you can always catch me on the road. Go to my Instagram. You'll see it in my link tree, all the shows that I got coming up. A lot of cities coming up. Just to name a few, we got Plano, D.C., Greensboro, Nashville, Chandler, San Diego, all before the beginning of October. So pull up on me on one of those amazing cities. Pat, what you got coming up?
Look out for Elite Roasting Arena, a.k.a. Era, dropping this September, and the Grease Sweet Trippin' series. We about two episodes in. We got two more to go. Check that out. We just dropped Athens and Porto Rafti.
There it is. As always, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you watching. I'm to hear more.
Patrick Cloud.
Appreciate our guest, Cleo Thomas, for pulling in. We'll see you next week on another episode of Damn Internet. You scary. Peace, guys.
Woo!
Whole world watching, yeah, everybody staring, tapping, tuning.